to go. Welcome online. I don't know if we're online, but welcome. Welcome to you that are here. Amen. 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 Oh, boy. I don't really want to. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So, funny story is, I thought I wasn't preaching till the 25th, until this morning, and I found out I was preaching today because I got myself confused. And so I could have gotten, like, thank you for your text this morning, because I was like, wait a minute, oh, that's me. I'm supposed to be preaching tonight. So praise God. And I've had this message stirring in me for like 6 months, but I wasn't sure. And, you know, I used to get really worked up if I didn't have time to prepare. But here's the thing. We serve an amazing God, and all you have to do is ask, and he will give you what you have need of. He knew that I messed up, that I was supposed to preach tonight, so he had it as soon as I was like, oops, Lord, I need you to tell me what to do, and he had it, and he reminded me that this is what's been on my heart for a few months. There's a cost. There's a cost to be a disciple of Jesus. There's a cost. You're like, oh, yay. This isn't a message like, God loves you, and he has a plan for your life. He does! But there is a cost to be a disciple. And I think we're living in times where people want to hear what their itching ears want to hear. And I'm telling you, the Bible talks all about that there is a cost. There is a cost to be a disciple. You don't get to just say, Lord, wherever I can fit you in my life. But there's a complacency, even in the body of Christ right now, of I'm just going to fit the Lord where I can. And there's this false narrative going around. God understands. You can't tithe, that's okay. God understands. You don't want to seek first the kingdom of God, God understands. You have things more important than him. Sorry, my Bible doesn't say that. My Bible says seek first the kingdom of God. My Bible says to give and it shall be given unto you. And it says he will take care of you. There is a false narrative, and I know that's why the Lord has me sharing it, because I'm like, Lord, can't I preach like a happy, encouraging message? But let me tell you something. This is an encouraging message, because the truth always brings change. And when you're walking in a part lie, you don't have the full blessing of God anyway. So why wouldn't you want the truth? The truth is, there's a cost to be a disciple. The truth is, you're going to have to lay things down. You're like, well, I've already laid it all down. Let me tell you, it's a continual laying it down. Because we all get comfortable. We all get complacent with things. Think about when you first had the call on your life. Because just because you're not called into fivefold ministry, when you gave your life to Jesus, you had a hunger and a thirst to go after everything. Have you ever seen anybody get touched in a service? They're like, yes, I'm coming next week. What happens the next week? Work schedule, their kid gets sick, whatever it is. And they go, oh, can't be there. They forget the touch. They forget exactly what just happened. And they're trying to please man. That was the biggest thing that the Lord showed me. The cost of discipleship, it doesn't cost anything but your flesh. Putting your flesh under. Putting under pleasing other people. Who are you pleasing? We live in a society that tries to make you feel guilty. By the way, that's called manipulation. We don't serve a God of manipulation. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. That's what he says. So it's a choice. We heard this morning about participation. I practiced all day saying participation, so I didn't get tongue up. We had the anointing of tongue-tiedness this morning. I had it. Rick had it. You have to participate, which means you have to make a decision. I'm going to make a decision at all costs to follow after the Lord. And the Bible says you have to count the cost. And that's why I'm telling you that there is a cost. If you think, oh, I'm just going to follow the Lord and it's all going to be easy. It's not. Because you're going to have to make decisions. You're going to have to make decisions. Amen? Amen. Yeah? So the reward is greater than the cost. That's what I want you to know. That's what's so awesome about God, is your reward is greater than anything else that you could have done. When we left our family businesses, and listen, I know we talk about that testimony, but that was the answer to the call for us. That was everything was on the table, surrendered. Everything. We walked away from inheriting businesses. My dad, love you, Dad, if you're watching. My dad said, if you leave the farm and everything. There's nothing. You're gone. Because we believe in sweat stock. So you have to work it to earn it. That's how it works. It's not just because I'm a daughter, I get something. That doesn't how it works. It works that way with God. And my dad is right with what he did. I don't blame my dad. I'm all okay with it. But what I'm telling you is that I had to count that cost. I had to count that cost. I had to count the cost of my family being really angry because my daughter had just had a stroke. They did not understand why we were going. I had to count that cost of looking like a terrible mother because I'm taking her from the best hospitals to the middle of Tulsa, Oklahoma, which go there sometime. It's not really like state of the art anything. Nobody understood. So I had to count the cost of that persecution, being separated from my family. But let me tell you, the reward is so much greater. I think all the time what God did when he took us out of that. My family's not bad, but my family's been blessed because I've left. My family has a different respect because they watched us be steady, but there was a cost in the middle of it. There was a cost to follow after the Lord. There's a cost right now. When the Lord told me to homeschool my children, there was a cost. People talked about me. People stopped talking to me. People thought I was crazy, but everybody thinks I'm crazy at this point anyway, so they're all used to it, whatever, you know. But here's the thing. There was a cost, and I had to weigh the cost. But who am I going to listen to, man or God? I'm listening to God every time because I know the reward from listening to my Heavenly Father. But I had to put my flesh under, okay? In Luke 14:25. And maybe you're like, well, I haven't been called to the full-time ministry. Great. There's still a cost. There's still a cost. Maybe you haven't been called to the fivefold ministry. There is still a cost. That is the narrative that is being pushed in America right now, that there's no cost. You can just do whatever you want. There's no cost. God loves you. There is a cost. There is a cost. And we need to say this because if not, we're preaching a half-truth. And the Bible says don't change or add anything to it. This is what the Bible says in Luke 14:25. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me, and this is Jesus just telling you, it's not me, does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus said to hate? No, Jesus did say that, but Jesus was saying, you're not putting anything above him. See, that's the other problem around here. Well, I need to go to this thing for my family. I need to do that. See, you love your family more than you love the Lord. Ouch. I know that's not going to go over well with a lot of people. They think, well, you don't understand. I do understand. I come from a huge family. I get it. But I'm going to tell you who comes first in my life is the Lord. The Lord tells me to go do something on a day that someone else is having a party. Sorry, Charlie. I'm going to do what the Lord told me to do because someone's soul might be in the balance there. And I'm not getting to heaven and the Lord say, why didn't you do what I told you to do? And you're like, well, that's harsh. My children need to know I love them. No, your children need to know that you put the Lord first, because guess what? If they watch you model putting the Lord first, they will do it too, because they will see the reward. They will see the reward that you walk in. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him. Do you know why you have to count the cost? You have to count the cost because people are watching you. You have to count the cost because you have to decide, I don't care what the cost is, I'm finishing this race. I'm finishing it. It doesn't matter what it looks like. The Lord tells me to sell everything, I'm selling everything. The Lord tells me, whatever the Lord is telling you, to go stand on a street corner and preach, I'm doing it. The Lord tells you, Sundays, you must be in church, and your job says, oh, you have to come to work? You say, mm-mm, sorry, that's my day to worship. Amen. Come on. Didn't the Lord say, don't forsake the assembling together of yourselves, especially in the latter days? Guess what? The forsaking of the assembling of yourselves is this right here. So you made a decision to count the cost. You were tired tonight. Maybe you didn't feel like coming, but you're like, I'm pressing in. You didn't come for me. And if you did, sorry, I'm nothing special. You came to press into God. That's why you came tonight. You came and you said, I'm going to get the word and I'm going to be filled. See, that's the cost. You did that. It says, 29, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is still a great far off, he says a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. I'm not telling you tomorrow to go sell it all. I'm saying your heart has to say, Lord, whatever you ask of me, I will do it. Amen. And I know a lot of you in here have done that. I get it. But there's something about right now. The Lord is saying people have become complacent. They're just going along, right? Have you heard like a lot of people say, when people have been married for a long time, they're like, or when they're young, right, and they've been married, oh, you're in the honeymoon phase, but that'll pay us. I'm going to tell you something. I made a declaration a long time ago in my marriage. My honeymoon phase will never pass because I will constantly be in love with my husband. I will constantly be seeking after my husband. And I got to tell you a secret. Our honeymoon phase wasn't that great anyway, so I didn't want to stay there anyway. It got better as it went on because, I know, because we fell more in love. We got to know each other because we made a decision to pursue one another. So people will talk about marriage all day long. Y'all have been to marriage seminars and all that stuff, and they talk about it. Why aren't you pursuing God? See, we just think, oh, God's just there. But we have to pursue him with the same passion because he says, forsake all else to go after him. So you have to count the cost. And Luke 9:57. In Luke 9:57, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Let me first go take care of this. Let me first do this. I have to do this. But what has Jesus said? Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You're like, wow, that's like not the happy-go-lucky message I'm used to. That's Jesus. It's time for people to grow up. It's time to get past Jesus loves you and he has a plan for your life. That is always true. But there is more that you have to do. Put your hand to the plow and don't look back. Amen. I never looked back and said, it would have been so much better if I would have just stayed. You can't look back. You have to keep moving forward. God, I thank you that you've called me into this plan. You will prosper me. You have my path set before me. You have to keep trusting him on what he has. Because he says, if you look back, if you've got to go take care of your own business, you don't really hate your own life. You still love your life. That's the problem. You have to lay it all down for him. It's a heart attitude. Pastor talked about this morning about good ground. And the good ground is your heart. And plowing your heart. So you have to ask yourself, is there anything in my life that is above my love for the Lord? You have to ask yourself that to be able to receive, to be able to do what he wants you to do. You have to say, Lord, I'm fully surrendered. You have to decide when I become a disciple, that means I'm a learner, I'm a pupil, I'm one who's following one's teaching. Whose teachings are we following? Jesus. It's all right here. You know, I was learning about history, and like Thomas Jefferson actually ripped pages out of his Bible of scriptures that he didn't like. You can't do that. You can do it, but it's not going to be good. You have to decide, I'm going to take the whole word. Even this that says, if I put my hand to the plow and I look back, I'm not fit for the kingdom of God. And if you've done that, you don't get condemned. Because the Bible says that you confess your sins and he is able and just to forgive you. So this message is not to condemn. I meant to say that when I first started out, sorry. that is not meant to condemn. It's meant to bring freedom. It's meant to take you to the next level, because it's meant to say, Lord, these things that I've placed before you, I'm done with that. I'm all in, whatever it is that you want me to do. Because I know the Lord is speaking to a lot of you. Here's the other thing. The enemy comes as an angel of light. So there's this twisted message that I've been saying, but don't be deceived. The enemy uses three tactics, and this is from Freedom in Christ. I was doing this study the other night. Temptation, accusation, and deception. The deception part is, God understands I don't really need to do what he's telling me to do. I can make it work in my own way. Listen, we could have made a lot of things work. We could have said we don't want to sell the farm shares, we want to stay, we're going to be a part owner, but the Lord said, leave, leave. You can try to work a whole lot of things out of your head, but what is the Lord speaking to you to do? You have to decide to do exactly what he's telling you to do. In the Bible, it says, Jasmine always says there's a greasy grace message, so I like that, greasy grace. but in the Bible, it doesn't say forgive unless they've done this to you. Love me with all your heart unless you have this. Seek first the kingdom of God. Unless you're really tired, you don't really need to seek me tonight, it's okay. Unless you've had a lot of trauma as a child, you don't have to seek me first. I'm not really being silly. We've all heard these things. We've all heard them. Follow after me. Unless you have like a ton of debt and you don't know how to get out of it, then it's okay. You can just do whatever. No, because when he said, seek first the kingdom of God, then all these things shall be added unto you. He's going to take care of it. I don't know why we get so messed up in this. We get worried about the things we can see in front of our face, but we're not really listening and taking it on the inside of what his word says, because he will take care of you. What about my work schedule, my house schedule? My body says I can't do this, but the Lord's telling you to do it. All of that is just smoke screens a lot of times. The enemy is just trying to get you out of the will of God. But if we don't recognize that we have an enemy, if we don't recognize that we have someone trying to take us off course, then we'll just fall for it. But it's not truth. If God tells you to do something and then all of a sudden your back hurts or whatever it is that happens, say, you know what? I'm going to walk in my healing and I'm going to go do this. You make a decision to stand on what God is telling you to do. Amen? Amen. I got to think about that one. In Hebrews 11:6, but without what? Faith. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Pastor. Faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There's a cost. That's the cost. Believing. That's the cost, to have faith. If you don't have faith, you can turn that around and say, if I don't have faith, I don't please God. I don't know about you, but I always want to please God. I want to please God more than I want to please man. I want to please God more than I want to please you. I want to please God more than I want to please anybody. Because he is my source. He is my everything. Not my husband, not my children, not my church, not my job. No, God, he is my everything. He sent his son to die for me. I'm a bondservant to him. Everything I have is for him. Everything I have. So if I'm not pleasing him, that's a problem. But see, we get caught up in wanting to please people. You're like, oh no, I don't get caught up in pleasing people, really? I bet I could tell you scenarios where you got caught up in pleasing people, because we all do. And we don't even realize it. The Bible says in Matthew, let's go to Matthew 6. So it sounds like I'm preaching at you. I'm not preaching at you. I'm telling you what the Word of God says, and now you have to decide how you want to receive it. Lord, how do you want me to walk this out? Because I am fully surrendered to you. I can give you the Word all day long, but each of you has something that the Lord is speaking. It says, therefore I say to you, do not worry. Just so you know, the Bible says a lot, do not worry. So when you worry, you're out of faith. Because the Bible says, do not worry. About your life, period. No, it's a comma. What you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? When you start to worry, you need to say, Lord, I am more valuable to you than those birds. So I know that you're going to take care of me. But here's the problem. You start worrying and then you're like, and this. Take the thoughts captive. That's what the Bible says. Again, there's a cost to being a disciple. So you can take everything in Scripture and say this is part of being a disciple. So when it says take thoughts captive, that was what a disciple does. So if I'm a disciple and I'm a follower of of Jesus, then I'm going to take those thoughts captive. But I have to renew my mind to be able to know what the lie is. And I want to say this because this has been irritating me a little bit lately about things in the world. Do not get caught up on studying about demons. You need to study about Jesus. You need to study about the truth. There's this like movement to want to study all the negativity. No, you just need to know the truth. And as you know the truth, you will know when a lie comes. Don't get hung up on all that nonsense. Study about, there's people opening the doors to stuff they should not be opening it to. The Bible does not say, go search. The Bible doesn't even talk a ton about demons. He just said, at the name of Jesus, they must flee. That's what you need to know. He talks about truth. What is the truth? As you study the Word of God, you will know the truth, you will unrecognize the lie, and you will cast that thing out. Okay? So don't be studying the wrong stuff. Study the Word of God. Are you not more valuable than they? Are you more valuable than the birds? Yes! He didn't come to die for the birds. He came to die for you. You are more valuable. Amen? Which one of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Let me tell you something. It's like a proven fact. The more you worry, you're going to die sooner. Why are you worrying? There's nothing to worry about. Do you know what worry does? Worry takes you out of the plan that God has for your life. Because then you're hung up worrying about your situation. You're hung up worrying about all these things. But this says, do not worry. So you can say today, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I'm not worrying anymore. Amen. I'm not worrying anymore. Because I've counted the cost, and it doesn't add any stature to me. Doesn't add anything to me. I'm not doing it because the Word of God says not to do it. And you all have different things you worry about. That's how the enemy comes in. He knows exactly what to hit you with. That's why you have to go to the Word. What does the Word say? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Oh, brother, I don't want the Lord to say that to me. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. You think God doesn't know what you have need of? He's your heavenly Father. If you have children, if you have people you care about, you know right away what they need. Your heavenly Father loves you even more. He knows exactly what you have need of. But seek first. Seek first. The kingdom of God. Doesn't say seek first how you're going to figure it out. Doesn't say seek first anything but the kingdom of God. Everything you do should be, Lord, is this the direction you want me to go in? Lord, is this what you want me to do? And I'm going to tell you, when the Lord speaks and you don't move, your heart becomes hardened because you've decided, I'm going to close that little place off. I don't want to hear that. No. You say, Lord, yes, I will do it. I will walk it out. And sometimes the Lord isn't asking you to walk it out right that second. He will give you the timing. All you have to do is say, yes, Lord, I am surrendered. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So all of those things we just read about, it's about seeking first the kingdom of God. It's not seeking first your bank account. It's not seeking the better job. It's seeking first the kingdom of God. All these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I'm getting excited. Now I can't. Too excited. Y'all got to get excited. Are you excited? I mean, come on. God is good. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. In Matthew 19:29, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. And many who are first will be last and the last first." So when you forsake all for God, he's got an inheritance for you. The Lord said that to me. There was a lot of people in my family worried about inheritance. You know, I think I've told this story before. When people die, man, people get crazy. And I didn't care. I didn't care about any of it. And I said to the Lord, should I be concerned about it? Should I be like upset? Because I'm not upset at all. He said, "You're not upset because I have your inheritance for you. I have your inheritance." And let me tell you, some of the things that my heart's desire were for some things, they came around years later. It just came around. Somebody would find something of my grandmother's. Here, this is for you. Things that years before, and I had let it all go. The Lord has what you have need of, and he has the desires of your heart. The reward is always greater than the cost. Look at that. "Everyone who has left houses, brother, sister, father, mother, wife, children, or lands for my name's sake," doesn't say for your selfish reasons, it says for his name's sake, "shall receive 100-fold. Amen? And inherit eternal life. In Matthew 4, let's talk about the disciples real quick. Not real quick, but I just said that to be nice. But, you know, we'll just take as long as the Lord tells us. Matthew 4:18. And this is what got me started on this months ago. I was reading in here, and this word immediately, it just like kept hitting me so hard. "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen." What were you? You all had all kinds of things. Teachers, crane operators, vets, you know, everything, dairy farmers. "And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him." Immediately. I know we've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again because it's our testimony. When Pastor came home from driving that anointed John Deere combine, and that night in October, and he came home in tears, rocked by the power of God, and I don't think he did anything special in the combine. It's just the Lord hit him. And I said, "What is wrong?" And he said, "I can't sign the deal. I can't do it." And I said, "Right now, we're claiming it. Because if we don't claim it right now, tomorrow we will think we are crazy." We have been married about a year. I don't even know. 2 years? We've been married about 2 years. We had a whole life plan, man. We had met with accountants. We had things laid out for the rest of our lives, for our children, everything. And he said, "I can't do it." And I said, "Claim it right now. Because tomorrow we're going to be like, now let's think about this. This does not make sense." And it did not make sense. I can tell you 100%. And the next day, immediately, we told our families. Immediately. Because if we had had time to think about it, I can tell you, it would have been a lot harder. But we claimed it right then, and we said, "Yes, Lord, whatever you're saying, this is what we will do right now." And we had no idea what it meant. We didn't even know we were going to Oklahoma at that point. We just all, a lot of times God gives you things just a little bit at a time. You need to leave the farm. Great, that's all we knew for like 4 days. Then we knew we were going to go to Bible school. But that's all we knew for a little bit. But you have to make a decision when he speaks to you. "Yes, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it, even though I have no idea what the plan is." So whatever the Lord is speaking to you, immediately, even if it's not immediately that you need to leave, immediately you say, "Yes, Lord, I'll do that." Because you will start to reason it out in your head the next day. Your flesh will. So there's a cost to put your flesh under. In Matthew 5:43... Here's the thing, the other thing. God doesn't just speak to you one time. Is that like the Lord said to us one time, "Leave the farm," and that was it, that he ever asked of us? That's not the only thing. All the time, he was telling us what to do, and we always had a decision to make. Yes, I'm going to follow you, or I don't really feel like doing that. I don't think we did that very often. I'm sure we did it a couple times. But we just had to make a decision. So in Matthew 5:43, and this is about being a disciple. And I just wanted to give a couple examples. Like I said, the whole Bible is about being a disciple because it all has commands of what we should do. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. The cost is your flesh when you have to forgive your enemies, when you have to bless your enemies. The cost is your flesh. Your flesh doesn't want to do it. Those people you speak about that you're like, they say something good and you're like, oh, yeah, whatever. Yeah, those are usually the ones you need to think about how you're talking. Because the Bible says to bless them. The Bible says to pray for those who spitefully use you. So those people that spitefully use you, that you want to be irritated with, the Bible says, pray for them, bless them. And what's the reward? You're called sons and daughters of the Most High God. See, there's a cost, but you see the cost is your flesh. Your spirit isn't irritated with those people that don't like you, that are your enemies, but your flesh is like, oh, I need to tell them something. Maybe none of you are like that, but that's okay. But the reward as you bless them and pray for them that spitefully use you, and you're going to have people like that, just so you know, you're called sons and daughters of God. In Matthew 6:14, it says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Who doesn't want to forgive? Your flesh. Your flesh does not want to forgive. Your flesh wants to hold on. Your flesh wants vengeance. But what does it say? But if you do not forgive men, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So the reward when you forgive those who trespass against you is that your Father forgives you. And I'd much rather have forgiveness of the Father than have vengeance against those people that I can't forgive. And I'm going to tell you, the biggest, well, this is my opinion, the biggest problem with people's ground for the stony ground, the thorny ground, is unforgiveness. That is the biggest hang-up. I have prayed with people that have never heard the voice of God, and I say to them, do you have unforgiveness in your heart? And immediately, because the Holy Spirit is working, we always pray for the Holy Spirit, they'll say, well, and they want to tell me this whole scenario about why they don't forgive someone. I don't really care what the person did to you. You need to forgive because the Bible says to forgive. And as soon as they confess and get rid of unforgiveness, I've had it happen multiple times, people hear God's voice for the first time. Unforgiveness will hold back being able to hear from the Lord because your heart is hard. You need to forgive. If there's somebody in your life that you, every time someone says their name, you're like, put the brakes on. Or that you're like, as soon as someone brings up their name, you're like, well, let me tell you what they really did. You really have unforgiveness, just so you know. And then you need to make a decision right there. I'm going to forgive that person. I'm going to forgive that person because I want my Heavenly Father to forgive me. Forgiving them doesn't mean that you have to be best friends with them or that it changes them. It's for you that you give forgiveness. In Matthew 19, Pastor talked about this morning, Matthew 19:16, there's a cost. Matthew 19:16. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to them, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young men said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I'm not telling you the Lord is telling you to sell everything, but I'm telling you that if he said to you, sell everything, could you do it? See, the young ruler walked away sorrowful. Did he have to walk away sorrowful? No. And I firmly believe that God had even more for that man had he let it all go. Because as you surrender, God always has more. Our God is a God of increase. He is not a God of subtraction and division. He is a God of addition and multiplication. So when you lay something down, and I'm telling you, for me it was laying down my family. I grew up in a close family. Moving halfway across the country was hard. I talked to my mom and my grandmother every day. Not anymore, but I did. But like that was hard to be away. But who did I love more, God or my family? A lot of times we idolize our family, our jobs. Listen, we live in a farming community. I have like two farms in our family that have been in our family for over 100 years. People will idolize that. They will do everything to hold on to that land. You know what my dad always said? He always said, Walt Disney comes, not anymore. He wouldn't tell it to Walt Disney anymore after everything. But he used to say when I was a kid, Walt Disney comes along with the right price, we moving. And we just gonna have a condo on here, but that's it, we gone. It's just land. And I'd say, Dad, that's so terrible. And I'd get really upset. He'd say, it's just land. That's what he would say. He said, if one of you got sick, if somebody needed money, it's just land. See, the possession didn't have him. It didn't have him because he was willing to just say, whatever we have to do. And I was the one like, oh no, we're holding on to it. But now I get it. Whatever, it's not mine anyway. Nothing I have is mine. My children are not mine. They were very little. I dedicated them to the Lord because they're not mine. My car, not mine. My house, not mine. It's for the kingdom. Everything I have is for the kingdom. My life is for the kingdom. My marriage is for the kingdom. Everything I'm surrendered. So you have to ask yourself, is there anything that I haven't surrendered? Lord, sometimes I say to the Lord, like, if you want me to give my house away, Lord, I'll do it. I just want to check my heart. Could I really do it? I want to make sure my heart is right. So you have to say to the Lord, is there anything I'm holding on to that I'm putting above you? What are you asking me to do? In 2 Corinthians 6:17. I'm going to drink some water here. Part of being a disciple is separating yourself. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You have to separate yourself. What's the reward? He will be your father, and you will be his sons and daughters. But he is a holy God, and you must be holy as well. You have to separate yourself out. That's going to have persecution. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get there in a second. Hold on. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 7:7. This morning it was talked about participation, and this has got to me because as a disciple of the Lord, you have to participate. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. Ask, seek, and knock all require action. And it requires you to lay down your flesh. Some people don't like to ask because they're like, well, I don't like how it looks. That's pride. So just put that under. Seek requires something of you. To seek after God requires you to put your flesh under. You might be tired and the Lord is waking you up at 3:00 in the morning to pray. You have to decide, Lord, I'm putting my flesh under and I'm going to start praying. I'm going to do what you've asked me to do. He might ask you at 10:00 at night to drive somewhere to go meet somebody to give the gospel. You have to make a decision because you're seeking after him. He may tell you to go on a 40-day fast, 20-day fast, whatever. And that's going to require you to seek him, knock, and ask. It's all you have to do. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? And I was thinking about this morning as Pastor was talking about good ground. See, you have to examine yourself. Am I believing a lie or am I open for the truth? What does the Word of God say? I have to examine. You know, a lot of times we don't want to examine ourselves or we don't want to admit that we have something going on. But until you can admit something, you won't be able to receive from the Lord. If you've got something going on and you don't want to say it, like I have a hard time with this or whatever, then you can't receive what the Lord has for you because you haven't made a decision. In Hebrews 10:38, Hebrews 10:38, it says, now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. And that hit me hard. If anyone draws back, because I'm telling you, there's a spirit of complacency happening in the church. Not this church, I'm talking about the church as a whole. There's a complacency happening. People are just okay. They're not pressing in. They're not hungering. They're not thirsting. In the Bible, it talks about that you've grown cold. You've gone away from your first love. The life can make things mundane for you. But you have to make a decision. I love the Lord with all my heart. And so I'm going to press in. Because it says, the just shall live by faith. Faith, there's a cost to having faith. And I'm not going to draw back. Because I want him to have pleasure in me. You have to be red hot on fire, running after the Lord, deciding whatever it is he's calling of you. And there's a cost to that. But the reward is so much greater. He has pleasure in you when you don't draw back. Amen? So tonight the Lord told me that at the end of the service, we're going to have consecration, setting ourselves apart. We're making a declaration. Lord, I am on fire for you. I'm not drawing back. I'm not looking back. I'm only going forward to what you have for me. In 1 Peter 1:15, it says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. That's a cost. There's a cost to that. Because there's people that aren't treating God holy. It's very nonchalant. God just loves everybody. God's okay with everything. No, there's things that the Lord says are good, and there's things that the Lord says are wrong. Amen? Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. When we do this consecration tonight, it's not out of guilt. You can't come to church. You can't serve the Lord out of guilt. That's not what he wants. He doesn't want you serving him out of guilt. He wants you serving him out of love. Again, God is not a God of manipulation. We serve people out of guilt when they manipulate us. That's not who God is. He says, just love him with all your heart. That's why I come to church. That's why I serve him. I don't serve him because he's going to be mad at me. I serve him because I love him. That's the difference. You serve God because you love him. Amen? So quiet in here. Matthew 24. Matthew 24:10. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. This is talking about the end times. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Remember, the enemy uses deception. And because lawlessness will abound. Does anybody see lawlessness abounding right now? Yes. The love of many will grow cold. You know, I say the word complacency, but there's compromise in the body of Christ too. Because their love has grown cold. They want to accept and receive everything because they don't know the truth. It says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures, who's here is going to endure to the end? Amen. He who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Don't worry about your brother or sister that's growing cold. You pray for them. You try to help them. But don't get caught up with them. You stay red hot and on fire. You're going to look different. We always talk about how there's a cost and you're going to look different than the world. I'm here to tell you, I've had this stirring in my spirit for a while. I think I said it at the beginning of the year. You're going to see a separation between those that are on fire for the Lord and those that are just lukewarm. I'm telling you, the greatest persecution right now is coming from religious people. Not even coming from the world. Because the world needs a Savior. They haven't had all this junk in them. But you're going to look different than those that aren't on fire from the Lord. And you got to make a decision. They're going to be like, here's the thing. When you're on fire for the Lord, other people, it makes them uncomfortable. It makes them uncomfortable because they start thinking, wow, I guess I should be doing that. So what are they going to do? They're going to bring you down to their level. So you have to make a decision. There's a cost. There's going to be people that are your brothers and sisters in Christ that maybe you're not going to hang out with anymore because they're not taking, you aren't iron sharpening iron. They're dulling you. No, you don't need to stay with that. You need to make a decision. See, that's the thing. The cost of discipleship, it's so much more. You have to make a decision. You have to make the decision. This person is speaking negative, whatever, making me think like, oh, it's just okay. You don't have to pray for people. Yeah, this is what the Bible says. Because they're not even listening to what the Bible says. So what does the Bible say? Lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. You cast out demons, they have to go. That's a whole nother story. People don't even want to think there's demons right now. Ugh. Decide tonight, my love will not grow cold. If my love has grown cold, I'm going to repent of that. And tonight I'm saying, Lord, I am on fire. Reignite that fire inside of me, because I am going to run. I will not grow weary. I will endure to the end. I'm not letting anything take me out. I'm going to finish my race, and I'm going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I want to hear that. The reward is to hear that. The reward is the crown you receive in heaven. Come on, it's not about here. But I'm going to tell you, you go out and soul win. You go out and share the love of Jesus. You pray with somebody. You'll feel that reward because you see God moving right in the midst. You see people set free. That's a reward to see that because of what you have inside of you and you pour out. But if you're like, that doesn't excite me, check your love walk. Check where your fire is burning because it should excite you because we're called to do it. And you've forgotten what it meant to be bound. When you see people get set free, man, I'm telling you, when I start to feel depressed, I'm like, I'm going to just pray for somebody. I'm going to call. I'm going to minister to someone because it's not about me. The enemy wants you to make it about you. Poor, pitiful you. But Jesus never said that. He never said. Did you ever see Jesus go, oh, gosh, these, well, he did say, gosh, these people, something like that, but oh, just kidding. But he never stopped going out. Why? Compassion. He had compassion for everyone that he came in contact with. He went out. He ministered when he was tired. Right? He fell asleep. The waves are going. They're like, come help us. He said, oh, good grief. Okay. He got up and helped. He never made it about him. Even on the cross, what was the last thing he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He never made it about him. And if he's our example, we're disciples of him, why are we all like, I just can't be at that event. I just can't do that because blah, 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 blah. Sorry. Sorry if I'm hurting your feelings. I have to tell myself this at times too. But I'm like, is this God's thought? Is he telling me to be hung up on this? No, because he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he didn't say, go into all the world and preach the gospel when you feel good. Go into all the world and preach the gospel when you got it all together. Follow after me once you get it all together. Nope. He didn't give you those conditions. Sorry. He said, just do it. Amen? Amen. Y'all looking at me like, oh, brother. In Matthew 25:23, that's where that says that. I want to quote that. Scripture, right? Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. How many of you tonight are deciding, maybe my love has grown cold. Maybe I haven't been as on fire as I should. Maybe, Lord, you told me to do something and I didn't decide to do it right away. But, Lord, that all ends right here, right now. Because tonight I am making a decision. What you've told me to do, I'm going to do it. Don't get hung up on that you haven't done it already. You decide right now, Lord, I'm going to do it. And then you start moving in that direction. Because you know what? Obstacles are going to try to come your way. You made that decision to go here. Now, bam, something comes over here. You're like, nope, I've already made that decision. Because you counted the cost. And when you count the cost, you decide, I don't care. Come hell or high water, I'm doing what the Lord told me to do. He told me to quit my job, I'm quitting it. He told me to not work on Sundays, I'm not working on Sundays. He told me to, whatever it is he's telling you to do. He told me to, you fill in the blank. Whatever it might be. But when you make a decision and you count that cost to do it, nothing will stop you. No work of the enemy unless you allow it. But when you know, I'm going to tell you something. When the Lord speaks to you and gives you a word and you don't do it, it will cause turmoil inside of you, especially when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, because you will be fighting against what's inside of you, and you will not have rest. You will not have peace because you will be fighting. You'll be fighting your spirit. It says your flesh and your spirit, you know, war against one another. I'm following after what my spirit says because my spirit is what leads me, not my flesh. Thank God I'm not led by my flesh. If I was led by my flesh, wouldn't be pretty. We're led by our spirit. That's how we can love our enemies. That's how we can forgive people, because our spirit is alive unto God. He gives us the power. And here's the other thing. People that are like, well, I just don't know if I can do it. Let me just tell you something. Right there, you're in your flesh. Because God is a good God, and he doesn't tell you to do something and then yank it back and say, just kidding, you can't do it. You have the power and the ability to do it when you depend on him and not yourself. But when you're in your flesh, nope, I can't do that. If the Lord told you to do it, you can do it. If the Lord told you to do it, he's got a plan. All you have to do is surrender. You got to trust him. Even when you can't see what's happening, even when you don't see the plan coming to fruition, Lord, you keep standing on that word. What did he tell you? You keep standing on it. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to consecrate ourselves to the Lord. You're like, I already did that. Well, that's great. I'm glad. But I felt in my spirit, so I'm going to be faithful to do what the Lord told me to do. Excuse me. Is that, you know, and consecrate means to set yourself apart. Set yourself apart for a purpose. Your purpose is not your job. Your purpose is not your health. Your purpose, let me just go there for a second. The world is always like, you need to take care of yourself. You need to have me time. Women get that all the time. You need to have me time. No, I need to have Holy Ghost time, okay? I'm going to tell you that right now. Do we need rest? Sure we do. But I tell you how good God is. He gives you rest. When you do his work, when you follow after him, you're at peace. So then you have rest, even if you only get a 15-minute nap. You got serious peace because you've done what he's asked you to do. When you start overthinking it, talk yourself out of it, blah, 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 then there's no peace because you're not walking in what God has for you. So forget about the world standards of me time. You are going to do great exploits in his name because we are in the last days. And I think that's what this word for tonight is. We have to set ourselves apart for exactly what he's telling us to do because the time is short. I don't know what the time is. Jesus doesn't know what the time is. I'm not worried about the time. But in our spirits, we know time is wrapping up. There's nothing fearful in that because we're going to go from here to glory. What's the big deal? And I'm going to do everything in my power right now because I got news for you. Not in my power. This is not my power. I'm going to do everything the Lord tells me to do right now because I'm going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, but also because time is short. You know, when someone's dying, right? Everybody comes and spends all that time with them. But you can never get back those years you didn't spend with them. I'm not going to miss any opportunity is what I'm trying to say to you. I'm not waiting until the very last second. I'm going to do what the Lord is saying now because there are souls that need to be saved. There's people that need to be set free. There's captives that need to be set free. There's things that need to happen. And that is where I'm pressing into. It's not about what my plan is. It's about what his plan is. Then he'll take care of everything else for me. If I'm about his plan, he'll take care of your house. He'll take care of your children. He'll take care of your bank account. Whatever it is that you got that needs to be taken care of, as you seek after him, he's going to take care of all that stuff. Amen? Amen? I don't care what you've got going on. He will take care of it, but you have to first seek him and give it all to him. Don't trust in your own might. So if everybody just wants to stand to their feet, we're going to... Ashlyn, you can play some instrumental music, I think. And you can leave it online unless you already shut it off. That's fine. But I want the online people to do the same thing. And I'm just asking the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If you don't know the Lord as your Lord and Savior, I want to make sure I give people the opportunity. It's a simple prayer. You just say, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died for me and you rose again on the third day. Thank you that you came to set me free. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that you are Lord. And I make you Lord of my life right now. And I receive you, Jesus, right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Always run to God, not from God. And right now we're just going to, I just want you to lift your hands. You know, lifting your hands is surrendering. Lord, I'm surrendering right now. I believe it's a thing between you and the Lord. We're going to say something together, but then I'm going to give you some time for you and the Lord. Because I know this message speaks to people. And I want you to, it's between you and the Lord. He's not a God of like I don't like worded prayers, like where everybody says the same thing, because it's about you and your relationship with the Lord. But right now, just repeat after me, Lord, I surrender.
Lord, I surrender.
Everything to you.
Everything to you.
My plans.
My plans.
My desires.
My desires.
I surrender them to you.
I am sold out to you, Lord.
I've counted the cost.
I'm not looking back.
I'm only going forward.
Lord, if my love has grown cold,
reignite that fire now.
I will run with the blazing fire
until you call me home.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. I just want you to... Ashlyn, you can go ahead and put the altar music on and you can stop the online. Thank you for joining us online. I have some worship songs that are in play. I don't necessarily want you to sing these. I want you to just take some time with the Lord, whatever.